it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. Hopefully everybody had a nice weekend. Beautiful weather. A lot of football.
Yeah, man.
Some of it good.
Yeah.
Some of it not. And we'll talk about it over the next 3 hours. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, man. Hopefully everybody had a nice weekend despite some of the ups and downs.
Yeah.
The irritation and everything like that. But, yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful weekend. And, you know, trying to get as many days outside as you can because as you can see the weather. It's still nice, but as you can see it's going in the direction that I don't need it to go to. But, yet, you know, it was a great weekend. Like I said, watching ball. It ended not.
Oh, it ended cool.
It ended cool.
Because the Sunday night game was awesome.
That was a great game.
It ended great.
It wasn't good here in Atlanta.
No. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't good here in Atlanta. And I mean, I know we're going to talk about what the ins and outs of the games and everything. I just wish this team, for these fans who love this team and they love this team, to win games like other teams win games against them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, last night was exactly what – I mean, we've done this show 1,000 times. We've been doing – you and I have been doing this midday show together for – I think this is our 7th or 8th NFL season. And we've had this conversation that we're about to have right now about yesterday's loss 75% of the time. You know?
Just one,
like, oh, it was there for you, and then you didn't make the right plays, and this guy obviously missed the kick, and we'll get to that. But it's just like – how many times did they lose yesterday? How many times have they lost that game?
Yes.
Since we've been doing
all
this
the
show?
Time.
All the time.
All the time. I mean, it's stuff goes your way in favor as far as like overturns and reviews and reversals. Guy misses a damn extra point that gives you a chance.
No kidding.
You know, you get all these opportunities to win games, and yet those other teams find ways to make the play or don't mess up the play whenever they play this team, man. And it's just, you know, it's just. You know, like you said, when you're having a balance of, you know, majority of the league is even. There are some great teams, but majority of the league is even.
Yeah.
You know, it's a one-score game for the most part, just like that one is. You just want to find a way to win a football game, man. And that game was there to win. I know there's so many different things you can point out, who didn't do this, who didn't do that. But I just wanted, like, just to win a game the way other teams win, especially here in Atlanta.
Yeah, you that's the thing about
especially
it.
Especially here at home.
Is that was a home game against a divisional opponent that didn't play particularly well.
No, they didn't. Like, they had moments.
Yeah, Tampa was okay at times. Certainly was really good when they needed to be on that final drive. But I mean, they kept Baker Mayfield in check in the first half.
They were getting after
his ass. It was three drives before he completed his first pass.
Yeah.
I mean, they were making him really uncomfortable. And then in the fourth quarter, they couldn't get any pressure on him. He's a little bit more comfortable back there. Then when it did collapse, as it always does, he goes and gets those dirty first downs.
Talked about that Friday.
He always gets them. He's always going to get two or three of them, and he did. And then now, because you lost that game like that, which there's going to be a bunch of games like this year because the Falcons, that's where they are. They're not a great team. They're not a bad team. They have some really good parts. They have some limitations. You're going to be in a lot of one-score games.
Yeah.
So going to have to get the kicker thing figured out.
Yes.
We'll get to that in a minute. But now you lost that one-score game at home against the divisional rival. So now the one that you have in Tampa is a must-win.
Yes.
You have to win that game if you're going to try to win the division.
Yes.
And it puts even more of an onus and an emphasis on this one on Sunday night coming up against Minnesota because you can't start 0-2 and make the playoffs.
Nope.
This is not how it works.
No, it does
not. So here we are again in the same place talking about the odds of slow starts and digging your way out of them and stuff like that. It's rinse and repeat. I mean, it's different players. It's young guys on defense now. It's Penix and all that. And obviously, we'll get to the details and some of the good and some of the bad. But it's the same thing. It's the same exact way they've lost a million games over the last decade.
Yeah, and I think that's just frustrating, man. And you know, you can start, you know, with, you know, the quarterback. I thought Michael played well. I thought he played well. Now, I thought he had some throws that he wanted back. I thought it was some guys that he missed that didn't trust it. We do our keys on Friday. I don't think that Elijah Wickens was a story. He didn't play bad.
Yeah, they couldn't run right.
He didn't play bad. And that goes back to what I was just saying as far as that chemistry that McGarry and Lindstrom had. You know, they don't have it there. And that's going to take some time because that was the one thing about it was is that Caleb always knew who was – and that's just one of the things about it because they've been together since day one on that right side. And so being unable to run a football, Tampa's a really good run defense. Vita Vea is a really good run stopper. I thought
Vita Vea decided that there was going to be no
none,
run game.
And they kept they wouldn't go away from it. You know, just like, all right, Zach, we see this. This is not working.
Yeah, run away from the gap.
Run away from the gap. And I'm caught this damn shotgun short damn yardage.
Fourth and a half yard. We line up 5 yards off the line of scrimmage. And then run it straight into Vita Vea.
It's not like, going to work.
It's not
going to work. I thought
you don't have to do it to know it's not going to work.
It's not working, you know. And there were plays there. Bijan, don't take your eyes off the ball.
Yeah, a couple times.
The toss play, then on the swing pass. But I mean, the touchdown was freaking amazing, you know. And that's what he does. But yeah, I thought up front, you know, the guys that you rely on didn't play well. I don't think Lindstrom had a really good game. He had his troubles all night in protection. And especially running the ball. I thought Jake didn't have his best day. Bergeron got beat so many times. A lot of times when that hit on him, it was Bergeron's guy. So he didn't, you know, they didn't, those five guys didn't play up to the standard. Obviously, you know, you lose your best run blocker, which McGarry is, and you're not able to run the football. And to not run the football with this team, that's not going to get you a lot of W's. But I thought the young quarterback played well. I thought that there was a lot of you got to make that play. Drake, you got to catch the ball clean. That's what they're going to pay you for to do. That's what number one guys do. They catch the ball. You're big. You're contested. Go snatch the ball. You can't get it out. I thought Kyle was good. I thought he did a better job of using Kyle as far as the extra protector, but not making it a dead route. You know, I thought they did some good things with him on some post routes. Kadarius, you got to run through the ball, man.
Got it. I mean,
That was
a pretty great throw.
You got to – because the thing about it is once you get past that guy who was trying to collision you, your head's got to come around. It's got to come around quicker.
If he gets his head around half a second faster, that's a touchdown.
That's a touchdown right there for me. Yep. So it's just so many of just defensively, I thought it was some miscommunication in the back end. You saw the one big miss Baker had. It was a miscommunication between you two dudes that can't miscommunicate.
Couple early season, maybe Baker's not on the same page as his guys yet misses.
Yes.
That would have been touchdowns.
Yeah, and it was the communication issue with those things. You didn't hear any – they didn't get any sacks. They did pressure. But they didn't get, you know, you didn't get to see what you thought you were going to see.
Well, yeah, the edge rushers didn't. You brought pressure. I think Billy Bowman and Divine Diablo got home on one. But.
And that one, that leads me to this point. Good. Divine Diablo is a damn player.
Yeah, that guy's good.
He's a player.
That's an athlete, man.
He is a player.
He was all over. He was probably the best player on defense.
He was all over the field. But then we talked about it Friday. When you got him, you got to get him down. Kaden, you got Baker. You got to get him on the ground, you know, because if this was the Falcons, that quarterback would have been on the ground. Our quarterback would have been on the ground. So it's just the same old, like you said, just typical, just you feel it just so close, but yet you still continue to find ways to lose games. And, I mean, all training camp, we were talking about, you know, there's no real big issue or anything like that. You still got the same thing because if you're raw, you can't lose games like that. Because your kicker can't make a kick.
Right. That's right.
And I know people say, well, Yonwei, yes, he has made some big kicks. I understand that. But he's missed some big ones, too.
Yeah. And I don't want to be like, I don't know. I don't want to be like callous or rude or anything about that part of it because that's true. He has.
Yeah.
It's been a couple years now. And I don't know what that has to do with anything. You know what I mean?
Nothing.
Like, his job is to make kicks now.
Yes.
A couple years ago, he was making lots of kicks. Now, I don't want to go too deep into it and say those games weren't even all, you know what I mean? Those are some pretty, I mean, they were game winners, but on, you know, mediocre teams that weren't going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So he did do that.
Yeah.
That did happen. And I'm sure those moments were pressure and all of that.
Yeah.
And he had to make the kick. It's still the NFL.
Yes.
But last year, he was awful. And the hope was that was injury related.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to be telling himself that, right?
I was just banged up.
That was my hip. I'm fine now. You can see, and you guys we were talking a little bit about it on the podcast, when they iced him and they went through with the kick and mechanically the kick is just fading a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's moving a direction that he's not totally in control of. So Then he has to try to make up for that and overcorrect it on that second one, and he just flat out sliced it, man.
Yeah,
sliced it, shanked it, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Because not only is it a physical thing, it's totally a mental thing
as
well. And I don't know how many jobs in sports are more like 50-50 physical and mental than field goal kicker and closer in baseball.
No doubt about it, man.
But once you start to slide the wrong way, it's really hard to dig your way out of it. And we're now multiple seasons into this slide with Young Wei-Koo, and it cost him the game yesterday.
Yeah.
Or at least it cost him overtime.
It cost him overtime. Because they
might have lost.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, you give yourself an opportunity to see.
Exactly.
And, you know, and you talk about, you know, Roz is talking about, well, maybe you need to bring back a competition. No, you need to get a new guy. Now, as we were talking before the show, how many other guys are out there that may be better than Young Wei-Koo? I don't know. But, I mean, you look at just the overall special teams. The coverage teams were not good yesterday. I mean, you get an opportunity to make a play on a guy. You let him out of there. Return him. Gives Baker damn near the ball, damn near at the 50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this new thing. They want to return kicks. They're incentivizing the return of kicks. You see that. And you miss. When you're talking about your kicker, he misses it. I don't think he was supposed to kick the ball in the end zone.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, he missed. I mean,
now, touchbacks are damn near an illegal procedure.
Pretty
now.
Much.
You get it on the 35-yard
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, and that's crazy.
Yeah, like the incentivizing of kicking, of returns, I like it. You know, might as well if you're going to do that.
Sure.
But, yeah, so you got issues right there. They still had some trouble with the run. That's why I said I'd be anxious this week to see if there's a move made, you know, because of the not fully guaranteed the season because of after week one. Do they go out there and try to make upgrade the defensive tackle? Rook, you can't do that. I know Baker sold it. He did. But you can't do that. You can't put your teammates in a situation where the ball is gone. You see the ball is gone.
Mm-hmm.
You see the ball is gone, and then you get the personal foul penalty. You can't do that. Baker's going to sell it.
Yeah, he flopped. But, okay.
But, yeah.
You gave him the opportunity to do it.
Exactly. You gave him the opportunity to do it. But, you know, overall – it was good things, bad things, but the worst thing about it is you lost.
Right. It would be a lot easier. Again, this I've said this so many times. It almost feels like vomit coming out of my mouth.
Yep.
It's a lot easier to analyze games like this when the end goes the other way.
Yep.
It's a lot more fun to talk about the things you need to get cleaned up. Because look, there was plenty of good because it – you know, and you know, a lot of the bad looked like early season, not quite on the same page, a little bit. Okay, that can get cleaned up stuff, especially with Penix and his receiver. It's just like, all right, they're going to figure out the ball's going to be there.
Right.
Just you have to be ready.
You got to be ready because
the ball's going to be there.
Yes.
Like the dude's zipping it all over the field.
The pressure that was in his face and him just making like the out route to
Casey.
He's
making the throws.
The out route to Casey on third down when dude barreling down on him, puts it just right there.
Yep.
Like, don't lose stride type catches, man. It was great. But, yeah, I think, you know, they got some stuff to work on. Secondary, I thought Watts played well. I thought that, you know, he got to catch the interceptions when they're there. Because they're, you know, and that was the benefit of some of the things the Falcons got because the Bucs dropped 3 interceptions.
They did.
You know, right in their hands.
Yep.
Like, tip ball, here, give me that. Yep. And they dropped. That's what we always say. That's why you play defense. You know, but, I mean, there were some good things. But all the good things to me don't outweigh how you lost.
No, absolutely. And it's a lot easier to talk about the good things had the end gone differently.
Yes.
Now you want to focus on the bad things because the end didn't go differently.
Yes.
Like, and the big picture part of it, too, is you just knew, I don't know how many of the 17 games they're going to play are going to be like that. But most of them, 14 of them, you know, there might be one or two that get out of hand the wrong way. There might be one or two where you really kind of put your foot down and handle your business. But for the most part, you're going to be in these fourth quarter games. You got to win the ones at home.
Yeah.
You just have to. And they didn't.
And especially you talk about the division. Because
you have to win
that
game
and a half.
Yeah. And it's at home.
Yep.
So call it two.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So now the Tampa one is must win down there. And obviously they'll be playing better by then too. So yeah, just, you know. Frustrating/typical way for the season to begin, which makes it even more frustrating. We'll come back and let you hear some of what the guys had to say after the game. We'll get you caught up on some of the other things that went down over the weekend as well. There was some really fun football games played yesterday. Some fun ones on Saturday as well. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
in the pistol on second and five. Tampa showing four on the line and six in the box. In motion comes Washington. Penix a play fake. Looks. Michael from the pocket. Back near side. Here's Robinson. He'll get the first down. 40. 35. 30. Bijan 25. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown Atlanta. Oh boy. Third snap is a 50-yard pass. And Bijan Robinson houses it.
I mean, that had to feel
what a play.
Incredible for Bijan Robinson, given that we talked so much and he talked so much about that being something that he tried to focus on this offseason.
Well, first play of the game, he caught a slant.
He caught a slant first play of the game, yeah. Which was awesome. Yeah. It was like, oh, wow, that was like a wide receiver route. Yeah. Great hands. And then Penix zipped another one in there. I don't remember who, Ray maybe on that first drive. I don't remember who that second completion was to. And then that one, just a little dump off to Bijan. We talked about it all training camp. Easy. Was like, he can turn he's a home run hitter.
Yep.
He could turn those into anything. And to make first guy miss, nobody even got close to it.
And that was the crazy thing. And I was like, run, go, go, go. Oh,
where are they?
Where is everybody?
The defense? Yeah. So to take that to the house, pretty cool way to start the season.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great great read by Michael, because there was nothing else but Bijan. And I think he did a really good job of that yesterday. And as I was talking about Kyle Pitts, how they didn't allow Kyle's like protection routes, protect then getting the route to be just an inactive route. You know, he was able to do some things off of that. But, yeah, that was a big-time play by him. I mean, it's very rarely are you going to tackle Bijan in open field one-on-one. Uh-huh. And it's so funny how he runs, because he has like this lean. And first of all, he carries the ball so damn low that worries me. But yeah, that's neither here nor there. But he does this little lean when he's in open field, because they ran a stretch play. They called it back for holding. But just – how he, like, when you run those plays, Mark, there's like landmark, and when he hits his landmark on those stretch runs, it's amazing how he just runs it, and it's just a curve, and he just gets upfield, man. I mean, that's a special trait that he has. But yeah, I mean, that was a big time play. It was an easy completion, and then see what happens when you get number seven the ball early.
Yep.
So he can make somebody miss and make some things happen. Just a hell of an all-pro type play by your running back.
Yeah, he was a leading receiver. I mean, obviously, that was 50 yards right there, so that helps. But he had six catches for 100 yards, which was the good. Bad was the run game, man. Yeah, and they had Algier involved a lot early, too. That first couple drives, Algier got as many carries as Bijan did.
I think they ended with the same, didn't they?
Bijan had 12, and Tyler had 10.
Oh, okay.
They both ended with 24 yards. Penix was the leader in terms of yards per carry average, and obviously had the two biggest runs of the game at the end and to get him in the end zone.
Yeah, if you don't scramble, Kyle's sitting right there. He just threw that little flick to Kyle right because Kyle's standing right in front of him. But, I mean, just a hell of a job by Michael Andy with the body control, being able to put on the touchdown. Then on the fourth down play, just body control and ability to stretch out.
It looked so much like that touchdown that he scored at Indiana
against
all
Penn
those
State.
Years ago against Penn
State.
State.
Yeah.
Just dove for the pylon, and they reviewed it for 20 minutes, and they finally called it a touchdown. And look, both of those looked a lot like that. Here's Raheem Morris talking about Penix afterwards.
Yeah, particularly at the end. No matter what the situation was, he was ready. He was willing to go out there and battle for us. He did a great job at the end, scrambling to get a touchdown. Did a great job at the end, putting us in position to kick a field goal to put that thing in overtime. Did a great job putting us in position to try to and possibly win it. I couldn't be more proud of the young quarterback.
He had a couple more yards on the one slide when because now it starts where your slide is. I thought he had a couple more yards.
I think so too.
I thought he had a couple more before.
But
he knew that too.
I like the get down before you get clocked, just in case.
Yeah.
Because there was some quarterbacks both in college and pro over the weekend where it's like, guys,
all right now,
live to play another down.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. But I thought the young quarterback really, I thought he played well. Again, missed some throws, probably missed some open receivers now and then. But I just thought the moment wasn't too big for him. 59 seconds, two timeouts. I got to get my team into it for a field goal.
Yep.
Just masterful.
Ripped some throws that were receptions. Yes. Obviously, the pass to Hodge that Hattie gets his head around, maybe that's a touchdown.
That's a touchdown.
The pass to Casey Washington was I mean, that's a great play by Antoine Winfield.
Dude, that's why
close to winning the game.
That's why he is one of the best players in the league at his position.
A great play.
Because he does stuff like that, like his damn daddy. But, I mean, just an unbelievable play by him. Because Casey, I mean, it's there.
He's there.
It's right there.
He's there.
It's right there. And there was nobody behind.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody behind. So
right. He catches that turn. Yeah, he walks into the end zone.
Yes, he walks in the end zone, man. It's a great play. I mean, they get paid too. You know, but I thought, you want to talk about different things that we talked about on Friday as far as keys. They let Baker start. They did a great job, because I was like, Caden, it was him and Caden. It was on third down. I was like, okay, You cannot let Baker shake you. And Kane did a great job tackling him, getting him on the ground. Great job in the open field. But then there was nobody there of those last couple scrambles that he had. And when he's moving like that and when he's bouncing, those two touchdown passes to Ibuka were just money.
Yeah, they're dimes. Money. I mean, especially that second one. I mean, just an absolute laser beam. And we talked about Ibuka. He's been getting rave reviews all camp. Yep. I mean, everybody saw him play as the leading receiver in the history of Ohio State.
Which is crazy.
Pretty good.
Because they got some stud. Marvin Harrison Jr. played really good yesterday,
did.
Too.
He played really
good.
But
yeah, I mean, but then you think about it, no pressure on a quarterback when you need a pressure.
Yep.
And they had three replacements that didn't play the position that they were supposed to play.
Yeah, Wirfs obviously didn't play. We knew he wasn't going to play. So they had last year's center playing left tackle.
Yes.
They had a backup left guard playing center.
Yes.
And they had a rookie playing left guard.
Yes.
And you didn't get any sacks from your pass rushers.
From your pass rush. I know they got this one sack of I think it was a half a sack between Diablo and Watson.
Uh-huh.
So they got the half a sack, whatever. But yeah, there was no sacks from your guys. You know, and they were there. They were close. They were close, but closest on what is it? Horseshoes and hand grenades?
Uh-huh.
And something like that?
Or horse grenades.
Same difference.
That's what my coworker used to say.
Same difference.
Close only counts in horse grenades.
Yeah, but
I think if you throw a grenade close to a horse, it probably works.
So that's going to have to continue to get better, man. It's going to continue to have to get better. But yeah, they just, I mean, I'm trying to pull up the game log right real quick.
What do you want to know?
Because I was looking at time possession, line of one time possessions. Mm-hmm. Both of them had 10 drives.
No turnovers.
Yep. I mean, you think about them, they did over have 100 yards rushing combined. Mm-hmm. Talking about the Bucs. Time of possession was way in Atlanta's favor.
Uh-huh.
And so,
they won it by 10 minutes.
They won it by 10 minutes. And so,
and a big part of that was that drive they go about, on in the fourth quarter.
I gained about 100 yards.
Yeah, man. It was all the recipe was there.
Yep.
To win the football game.
Fourth down, Atlanta was 3-for-4, but 50% on third down, 7-14. Another
frustrating part, and we'll get back to the bad in about 10 minutes, and Koo missing the kick and all that. This is now three straight games, going back to last year, where Penix does enough in the fourth quarter to get the lead or the tie, and then either clock management or defense or kicker or whatever lets it down, and they lose the game.
Yeah, man.
Like, you're in positions to win the games, and then you're not making the plays.
Yeah, man. I mean, the kid, we know how much he played a whole lot of college ball, so he ain't no young player, but he's a young player quarterback. This was the best start he's had of his four. Mm-hmm. This is the best start he's had of his four, mainly because it was more – It seemed like he evolved a lot in this offense this offseason. It seemed like Zach wasn't just looking for the big play the whole time because he does have that big arm. It was option routes. It was in breaking routes. It was the check down, like you said. It was so many different layers of his game that came from last year to this year. And you know, he's just gonna keep developing those things. Now you're like, okay, when does Moody come back? He was inactive for the game. How bad is Drake's shoulder?
That's a big deal.
They said
deal.
Shoulder sprain, said day-to-day. So, I mean, that's a big deal when you talk about a big physical guy with a shoulder problem. You know, because one thing, Drake, he catches the ball, but he gets in there and they're doing that dirty work too.
Loves to block.
And so that's a real big concern if you're talking about that.
We'll get back into some of that and obviously what happened at the end in about 10 minutes. Get you caught up on some of the other things that went down over the weekend. A lot of lopsided finals in college football.
Yeah, man.
70-0 Ohio State. 69-3 Oregon beat Oklahoma State.
That was personal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was personal by Dan.
Yeah, man.
He did not have to beat.
And it could have been way worse.
Yes.
It could have been way worse. Yeah. They took their foot off the gas pedal in the second half. Georgia wins 28-6. There was a long rain delay in that game.
This game started an hour early.
Weird game.
Just a weird, weird game, you know, that I was like, okay. Let's just get up out of here. But you have another injuries. That offensive line is not what it needs to be.
And they're hurt. They're already all hurt.
Yes, and that's the big thing. You lost the young tight end, gruesome-looking injury. Speedy recovery for that young man. But, yeah, just overall, offensively. I thought Gunner was not locked in, man. I just didn't think he was.
Looked sloppy.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Hopefully
they may get ready to go.
Hopefully they clean all that up.
They're going to go to Rocket Top.
Yeah, they got to play Tennessee on Saturday.
Go to Rocket Top.
Clemson was down 6. They were also – that storm just kind of went through
and
made every game weird.
It was.
Every game that was in the path of that storm got weird. Clemson was down 16-0 to Troy. They got it together and ended up winning 27-16.
But I looked at that score, I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And Clay Klubnik is not – I don't know if it's him or if it's the offense, whatever it is, but he's not who I thought he was going to be to start the season with those first two games, man, because something broken up. I don't want to say it's broken, but something ain't clicking right now.
Agreed. Yeah. Georgia Tech was kind of in a little bit of a back and forth with Gardner Webb early. They ended up blowing him out 59-12. Now they've got Clemson this weekend. Yes. So I don't know. Is it good that Clemson's coming in a little wobbly? Is it bad? Maybe they're going to be more focused.
About the game about Georgia Tech was Haynes King didn't take a lot of hits. Mm-hmm. You know, now he's going to take a lot of hits because they're going to need all of Haynes King this weekend against Clemson.
Biggest story of the weekend, though, Florida.
Oh, my God.
Loses at home.
What in the heezy hell was going on?
Credit to South Florida. A couple nice wins early.
We talked about them early this week,
man. You were raving about their coach before they even beat Boise State. Saying. That guy's going to get a job. Yeah, I mean, he has a job, but you know what I mean.
Okay, Jordan Addison on the game and Bud Light for Falcons and Vikings Sunday night watch party this Sunday, 8 o'clock at Hobnob Neighborhood Tavern over in Atlantic City. Watch Falcons battle the Vikings with, my man, Chris Turtle Thomas, Freddie the Falcon, and the Falcons cheer team. Compete in Bud Light football toss competition. Win all-inclusive trip to Vegas. Whenever you're going in.
We went to Vegas.
With Falcon tickets, autograph, football items, and of course, great specials on Bud Light. That's the Falcons and Vikings watch party Sunday, September 4th at Hobnob Atlanta Station. Busby 21, please drink responsibly.
They got some stuff to clean up before that one.
Yeah, dog.
Minnesota plays tonight, so we'll get a chance to look at them too. But we'll come back and talk more about what happened with the Falcons yesterday, specifically at the end with the kicker on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Whoop!
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle where we'll get into all of the other games from yesterday and Friday, too. Friday night's game was pretty entertaining.
Damn statement.
No doubt. And then tonight there's one last game of week one right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game between the Bears. That'll be tonight, pregame at 7, kickoff at 8:15. Obviously, the Falcons play the Vikings in Minnesota next weekend on Sunday Night Football, so a good opportunity to look at the Vikings on national TV tonight. And we'll actually do two. We'll do two NFL no huddles back to back from about noon to 12:45. So we'll get to everything that happened over the weekend.
Yeah, man, it was a weekend. Damn, Parkview 12U, baby, got our first win, Andy.
Hell yeah,
got our first damn win.
There we go.
Yeah, man, it was so much fun watching this. Always love watching kids when they're happy. And nephew Sampson played his ass off, man. He played really well.
Give me some
two sacks, four TFLs,
four tackles for loss.
Yeah, held it down on that left side of the offensive line,
set
left tackle.
The edge.
Skip. I mean, just played really, really hard. And Mama was there. You go, grandma there.
Grandma. You're gonna have your best.
Yeah, game. You know, grandma show up. I gotta show out for my grandma and everything. But yeah, shout out to Coach Rico and the coach staff, especially all the kids and parents. It was just, whew. I was like, damn. You know, us dads, we all look at each other like, yeah, it's good to be on the other side of that one. Because that's us right there watching the clock run down and continuously clock the whole second half. But, yeah, shout out to them young boys, man. They were able to go get a win.
Yeah.
So that was a good thing, man. But, watching college football, we were just talking. I mean, that wasn't a big marquee whatever, but I thought all of them lived up to it. Oklahoma-Michigan game was great.
Yeah, I thought it was a good game. You mentioned Michigan has some really nice players, and I think that they've got a bright future. But Oklahoma needed that.
Yeah.
And Mateer played
I didn't realize he was a dual guy.
Yeah, he can run.
Yeah, man. I remember last week when I said, I was like, damn, he can get busy, man. But, yeah, that was a big win for Coach Venables, man. He needed
definitely
a big marquee win against a marquee program. Yep. And I know Michigan ain't where Michigan was 2 years ago. But, like you said, they got this kid Underwood who is a baller. Justice had a really nice run.
Yeah, man.
You know.
Just give him the ball as much as he can. He's going to break one.
I mean, it lived up to it, in my opinion.
No, I think so, too. I think it was a good game. The Cy-Hawk game was exactly what it was going to be. It was 16-13.
Yep.
Just a slog, you know. Iowa State ends up winning the game.
I love the tight ends, man.
Yeah.
Iowa State's tight end. They're 6'10", and Rocco just tosses it up to him and everything. But, yeah, like, is it about – it's the Iowa offense, right?
It has to be.
It has to be,
because this kid, Gronowski – Those for 4,000 yards the last couple. Now it's at a different level. But still,
understand.
He can throw the ball all over the place. And he comes into Iowa with all this hype after winning all the games. I think he was at South Dakota, right, before? Yeah, and now he's at Iowa, and he can't go for 100 yards because it's Iowa.
Yeah,
and they won't let you.
Yeah, I mean, there was some. I mean, the Illinois. Remember how we were talking about the Illinois Duke game? Like,
yes,
wait, 2.5
Yes. Did you watch much of that game? Because that game was like, I think that was a one score game at the beginning of the or at the very end of the third quarter.
And then it was
at Duke's quarterback Mensah is fun to watch. Like that guy dances around and throws it down the field. Now he didn't have a ton of weapons around him, but he's fun. But like that game was pretty close. And then I flipped away and then flipped back, and Illinois was up by 30.
Yeah, it was a nice win for Illinois. I don't know what the hell to say about what happened in Gainesville. I don't, because. You know, you were thinking, I know I was like, got Lagway and Napier kept his job, because it's like it was going to be one of those things where you know, the young quarterback's going to help him and save his job. You can't lose South Florida. And I love me some South Florida. I know we talked about the group of five, I mean, the group of power group four, whatever group, whatever it is, the non-power four group. You know, I know you picked Tulane. Like, I mean, South Florida.
Well, they play Miami.
They play this Miami this weekend.
If they do that, and they're
3-0
against, I know Boise State doesn't look particularly good, but that's fine.
Yeah.
But if they beat them and then they beat Florida and Miami, all right.
Yeah,
man. That's a pretty good statement before you get into conference play.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm saying. So we'll see how that goes. Mississippi State, another team, another coach that needed a big win.
Yeah, that was a nice win.
Another coach that needed a big win, a program that, you know, we just don't even look at anymore down there in Starkville.
No, they're
– For them to go in there and get that win. After, in my opinion, I thought Arizona State coach, and he yaps a lot.
He does.
He yaps a lot.
Probably. You know. Probably too much.
Yeah.
But you know, when they're winning, okay. But I mean, and the thing about it was, I always really respect the team when they win a game like that, where they're up 17-0 and they're rolling and then they give it all back.
Yes.
And that game was tied at, I think it was tied at 17, and then Arizona State takes the lead late, and then Mississippi State has that late drive and ends up winning the game. Like, it's hard to win games like that when you give, especially at home,
when you're not used to doing that. Especially when they could have been in a situation like, oh, hell.
They scored 20 straight points.
Good for them.
I will say this, and I know this is not news to anybody, but, man, that that cowbell makes it hard to watch those games.
Oh, gosh.
Like, so you got to turn the sound off. It's so annoying.
It is a very annoying.
It's just the worst thing.
But, I mean, when's the last time, you know, the goalpost was – taking down to Stark Vegas.
I don't know. It's
been a while, man. So
I mean, that
was a great, great, great win for them down there. I thought Vanderbilt Pavia is leaving off, man, where he was last
year. It was fun to watch.
He's a good
dude. He's a really good
player. I like watching him play. And to go into Blacksburg and do what they did to
West Durham was on the call on that one, too, so that was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, so for them to go into Blacksburg and get the win the way they did, Kansas-Missouri game. You know, the big thing with it, I didn't know that Bo Pribulik could do that.
Yeah.
I know they said he was a running quarterback and all those different things. This dude could spin it.
Well, and that was another one where the game totally like went one way and then went back the other, because Kansas was playing great for like the first 2.5 quarters. Jalen Daniels is slinging it all over and they had a lead, and then Missouri just took off and ended up winning that game by, what, 11 points or something like that? Like, they really played great in the second half of that game. And then there was a fun one between Michigan State and Boston College as well.
Down to the wire.
Other than that, all the really good teams beat the hell out of the bad teams, and it was I think of the top 10 teams that played, the final scores outside of Georgia was like 555 to 54 or something
It was a pretty dominating situation that he is.
Tough weekend, but you know, you got the check.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
You got the check.
All right,
except for Oklahoma State, who didn't.
What is going on with that program, man?
Mike Gundy's lost his mind.
About time for him to go.
Yeah, Mike Gundy's lost his mind. That's what has happened in that game. All right, yeah, we'll get back into it. Falcons lose opening day. I didn't know the exact number. I was driving in thinking to myself, it feels like they lose opening day a lot. Mm-hmm. Caleb had it in his update. That's 7 out of the last 8. Mm-hmm. So you're putting yourself behind the 8-ball right off the bat every single time. We know the deal with yesterday, too, with it being a division game and a home division game, which makes it even worse.
Yeah.
And a game that was definitely –
just the excitement that was down. Because you were down.
Yeah.
You had
it
to
was,
wave,
people
you
were fired up about it.
Everything, man.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what sucks about it. Is this is what – happens every single year. Is like they make some moves that we're excited about. They finally did the thing we were begging them to do to get some guys off the edge. Everybody's fired up about Penix, and he had a nice game in game one. And it was there to win, and then you miss a field goal, and that's that.
Yeah.
And the frustration of, all right, here we go again, sets in, and I can't blame anybody for feeling
no,
like that.
No, not one bit, man. And now, you know, you gotta make a decision on the guy who kicks the ball. You got to make a decision if you're raw, and it could be a hard one. You know, I don't think it should be like – I'll take it back. It should be an easy one, I think. I just don't – to me, it seems like – and I've been around a kicker. I know in certain sports they call it the yips. I've been around a kicker that had him. I've been one of the best kickers, and he had it, Andy. And he was way better than Young Weku, and it was just – it would cost you games because I was on teams like the Falcons that you knew was going to come down to something like that and just couldn't get it done. And so if you're raw, you know how important this season is. You can't have too many of those right there. And then when you talk about I wouldn't want to be no damn kicker because the pressure of doing that, especially when we were talking before the show and Abe mentioned it, you know, before the final kick, he kicked it. They called timeout.
Yeah, they iced him and he kicked.
They iced him and then he pushed it, but it barely went through. And then, you know, as we talked about, you know, the overcorrection in your mind and you just pushed it right. It had the distance.
Sure.
It wasn't going nowhere near.
It wasn't close.
It wasn't even close, Bunk, how he shanked it the way he did. And so, you know, I know they were talking about a kicking competition. You don't have kicking competition in the middle of the season. No. And I mean at the beginning of the season, when the season starts. That's for the summertime.
And they didn't even really have one.
No,
honestly.
That's what I'm saying.
There was no competition between Koo and Craig.
Do they have any faith in Craig that he can come and be the guy?
I don't know.
I know he had the 57-yard in the first preseason game and everything like that. But
missed one.
Exactly. So do you have that? Like, when he missed it, I'm talking about Koo, when he missed it in the preseason, I was like, that ain't good. Mm-hmm. Just not good, man. It's just not a good thing. And then for him to hit one, it went off the goalpost and goes in, you're like, oh, hell. Mm-hmm. It's all the way in your psyche right now. So hopefully it doesn't come down to that.
Well, and the thing about it too is it's like when you see a golfer who just flat out doesn't have control of his swing.
Yep.
The miss isn't consistent. Like the first kick, he hit it and it kind of was going at the right upright and then kind of hooked back left a little bit. The second one off the upright and goes in. And then the third one, he started it at the left upright and missed it 10 feet right of the right upright. So I think if you have something in your mechanics that at least is consistent and it's like, all right, for whatever reason right now, when I hit it hard, it slides 5 yards from left to right. Mm-hmm. You can aim for that and plan for it. Right now, his miss is all over the place.
Yes.
So he has no idea where it's going,
right.
Which makes an already unconfident kicker even more unconfident.
Yes.
And that's what leads to the yips like you're talking about. I think what makes it so complicated with an in-house decision is, all right, so you're going to move on from this guy. If you're going to move on from this guy who has a ton of experience and has kicked a lot of game-winning kicks before, mm-hmm. for a guy who's literally never played in a game before. Mm-hmm. So now, because it's going to happen again, you're going to have probably Sunday night, you're going to be in a close game in the fourth quarter and you're going to get down close and you're going to need a field goal and here we go again.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So is it going to be a guy who's never done it before? Is it going to be this guy? Is it option three, like we talked about with the right guard weeks ago? Do you go get somebody who's not employed right now in the NFL?
Like, there's a reason they're not employed.
There's a reason they're not employed.
I know, and he's my favorite kicker of all time. Oh, Blankenship. He was great in one of them NFL leagues for my boy Anthony Beck's, the Battle Hawks. I think that's where he plays with the Battle Hawks. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what you do in this situation, but you got this guy, Andy. This has got to be quick, fast, and a hurry.
Yeah, like today
like
or tomorrow.
You got to
do this. If you're going to do it, you got to do it.
Yeah, and that's either way. Either we're going forward with Young Weku, or we're going to bring somebody else in. Ain't nobody in to have a damn kicking competition. If you're going to bring somebody in right now, he's going to have to be your kicker. And so whatever situation they're in as far as the waiver wire or maybe somebody's on the practice squad that people maybe have wanted, I don't know. But the decision for that position needs to be made because you're not going to change right tackle. You're your third guy, but there's nobody else. All right. You're not going to, that's pretty much the only other position. But right there, that position right there, it's got to be either we're going, like, thank you so much for everything you've done for us, but sorry. Or we're just going to ride with them.
Right. And that, again, it's a tough spot.
It's a tough spot.
It's a tough spot. To me, if it's me, I gotta make a change. I can't, you know, after what last year was and then yesterday, it just feels like that's where he's at right now, mm-hmm. like mentally.
Right.
And you gave him the benefit of the doubt and the benefit of the contract.
Right.
Like, he has a contract. That's one of the reasons why he got the benefit of the doubt. And just said last year, all right, last year was injury. Last year, that's what it was. We're going to chalk it up to that.
And like you were saying.
Until now, you can't.
Yeah. And so it's a tough, you know, I know because he missed the game-winning field goal, or game-tying field goal, I should say, that people are thinking, oh, it's an easy fix. Just get rid of it. And I mean, rightfully so, I would think that way too. But then you go back to the logistics of then who you going to go get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that's why I keep asking about this kid. Did they trust him enough to let him be their kicker?
Because remember, last year, you had a different kicker for like the final four or five games because Youngway got hurt.
And he's 45.
And there was a reason why the guy was available.
Yeah, he would have made that yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would have.
As long as
he was accurate, he just didn't have the power.
As long as it don't have a five in front of it, you know, he can carry 49 yards.
But that's the thing about Youngway that's so frustrating right now is over the last two seasons, his percentage from 40 to 49 is just unacceptable for the NFL right now. Those in this day and age, those are high percentage field goals for these guys. These guys that can all go up to 55, some even 60 yards right now.
Boswell hit a 60 yesterday.
Damn, Matt Prater made a game-winning field goal last
damn
night.
Damn Prater. So there's kickers.
They might be older, but there's kickers somewhere. But here's the thing. If you roll with them and say we have all the trust in Koo and all that, and then this Sunday in Minnesota, it's 21-19.
Mm-hmm.
Penix drives you down the field.
Yep.
You get in field goal range.
Because it's going to happen.
Of course it is.
It's going to happen.
We've all done this enough times to know that it's going to happen Sunday.
Yeah.
And if he misses it, that's your ass.
That's your ass.
Like,
that's your ass, and that might be your season.
It might be. It might be. Man, it's gotten, what do they say? Gotten late early? It always gets late early.
Hell yeah. Man, weather already changing.
Getting late. I know. We got our final post 8 p.m. sunset the other day.
I know, man.
It's getting darker earlier. It's getting later earlier. All right.
This sucks.
We're going to come back and talk about the other games in the NFL, the fun ones that happened. The first hour of the show was brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course. Atlanta Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back with hour number two on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.